be there.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your ends when you pick up the phone.
Follow the 25th Infantry Regiment Bicycle Corps' Buffalo Soldiers on their 1,900-mile ride in 1897 on Sheridan Community Land Trust's Iron Riders Trail driving and cycling tour. Enjoy this tour on the ground and virtually with the Travel Stories GPS app. Find this and all of SCLT's driving and walking tours under the History tab at SheridanCLT.org.
Hi, it's Good Luck Chuck Bagara here, VIP in the Carroll's Furniture First Northern Bank Pro Football Pick'em. Want to hear what happened this week on the Crow Morning Show? Have a listen.
New Orleans Saints, they're 1-7.
So I'll just go through this one quickly.
I'll start out. I think I'm still going to pick the Saints.
Chair.
That might change.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
If you pick the Saints, we might give you an extra point.
I don't know about that.
Like, you pick the Saints, you stick with the Saints.
The rest of the VIP said no extra point for you.
No extra point for me.
I picked the Broncos during the Russell Wilson years.
Who wouldn't want a $100 gift card to the Y Arno Bar and Grill? Andrew the Analyst from First Northern Bank here. You got to play if you want to win. Make your picks for your chance at the high score of the week. And tune in every Wednesday at 7:40 to see which VIP dominated.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, July 30th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Our guests this morning are Tongue River Pathways Committee members Bill Bensel, Jared Koenig, and Gina Donner. We're also joined in studio by Bill, now let me get this last name right, Shigliano.
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 And that's Bruce.
And Bruce Shigliano. Shigliano. All right. I apologize for the name. We talked about how I would do that too, didn't we?
No problem.
I want to say good morning and welcome to the studio, all of you. This is the first time I've actually had Tongue River Pathways in. So I got a couple base questions. I didn't even know that there was a Pathways organization out of Tongue River. How long you guys been around?
Yeah.
Well, the talk of a pathway started back in 1990. There was a group that tried to get people excited and involved. The butchers from the Innominate Bakery back in the day and Aaron Kilbride talked to Rotary. It kind of went to the wayside and then the fire got ignited again and here we are. Our board is new. This is our first year as a board, nonprofit. We got our 501c3 status and we're off and running.
Now, when you guys gathered around and decided, you know, we're going to go ahead and kick this up again. What was the driving force behind that?
I think the community, you know, it's never really gone away. I think that Ranchester, the town of Ranchester, really, really ignited that fire looking for funding. Both communities are very excited. It's just a matter of now what and how are we going to do that?
Now, when it comes to the mission, what is that?
Well, it's I can't do it for word, but it's connecting the Tongue River Valley with safe trails for transportation as well as recreation.
Perfect.
she was watching you. Now, what have the Tongue River Pathways been able to complete since you guys got this going again?
Well, we have concrete. But I think a lot of it is tying the community together already with the idea of a safe pathway. We have two schools in Ranchester. We have a high school in Dayton. We have a pool in Dayton. We have a coffee house in Ranchester. We're 5 miles apart along the Tongue River Valley. And I think the connectivity part has, you know, a lot to what we do together. You know, we go to each town. We have kids going to all kinds of activities, football games, what have you. But now it's becoming more concrete, if I can say.
I love it, yeah.
And we've just, with the town of Ranchester has been great. They applied and received a grant to do 4,400 feet of phase one of the trail that goes from the kind of the west end of Ranchester itself towards the west, past the middle school, past the elementary school. So it's really a safe route for school, and it's the beginning of that corridor that'll head towards the Tongariro Crossing historical site and then the town of Dayton.
Now, when it comes to the path, do you often see kiddos jumping on their bikes, hitting that path, heading to the other community?
That happens. It's a little scary. We've got Highway 14, and it's 65-mile-an-hour posted limit. We've got a narrow emergency lane there that is rumble stripped. So if you've ever gone on, I mean, there's a lot of gravel on there. There's the rumble strip. So it's hard to bike there, let alone walk. People do it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you know, where's your number coming up?
Yeah.
So what we've done, and we've copied what has happened in so many other communities, Sheridan included, is trying to provide a safe corridor in the right of way, but off the highway, so people can move between the communities and on bicycle, on foot, strollers, you know, walking the dog, and as well as in wheelchairs for the ADA. And so we're trying to make something for everyone, but the key is safety as well as recreation and just fun.
Yeah.
Community.
Yeah, community. How have you been received by the community so far? Pretty well?
Oh, I think so. I think some people that really didn't have the vision or the excitement have changed their mind now that they see it being built. We've seen, we had a meeting the other night and I was coming from Dayton and we see people on the pathway even though it's not finished. So that's exciting, and people are looking forward to having, you know, more opportunity and more distance to be able to work out and or walk or bike or that kind of a thing.
Now, how did the weather or the construction season affect any progress this year?
I don't think it affected it at all. Was it well? Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Just worked the minute they started. They've just worked every single day.
Now, since the committee has been kind of reformed, you guys have sat down and really looked at these things. Has there been any lessons learned or hurdles along the way?
Oh, definitely. You know, these kind of experiences where we set up a 501c3, we moved from a committee, working with the community, working with the towns. Well, there's always lessons learned.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, echo what Gina was saying, one of the lessons learned is people want it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a vocal minority that are opposed to it for various reasons, some of which I would say are logical and we can talk about, some I don't understand. But when you're talking about safety of our children, safety of students, improvements to the community, I'll reflect on the Sheridan pathways. I used to live in Sheridan. I remember we went to the city council talking about those trails and we got, someday, you know, we got mm-hmm. laughed out of the council. And here we are 30 years later, people love these trails. Mm-hmm. I mean, they make it part of the community. It's inviting to businesses, families. You want families to be able to use this. And it just really ties, the community, the word of community comes again and again. It ties us together. And that's what we're trying to develop in the Tongariro River Valley. And I think that will come. These things don't happen overnight. And, you know, we've got a strong committee. We've got the land trust has been partners and so many others that, you know, it's going to happen. It takes time, and concrete isn't as cheap as it used to be. So we're going to keep working on it for years to come. And there's other paths to go to. We can go between Dayton and Ranchester, you know, and beyond. There's a lot of opportunities out there to improve the community with pathways and trails.
You know, I didn't appreciate trails until I moved to Buffalo because, you know, if I wasn't skateboarding on a sidewalk, then why is the sidewalk there? So as I have gotten older, I don't go out a whole lot, but every once in a while, the wife will say, let's go walk the dog. She sees how big the tummy's getting. So she's like, okay, come on. And when we're out there, we will almost always see somebody that we know from the community. Mm. And you just say hi or ask how each other's day's going. But that's community.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel more connected to the place I live because of that. I know that we can hit those trails. There's going to be people out there, you know, most of them that I know, that we can just stop and have a conversation with or just say hi and walk on by, which is still very nice to do. Trails are important. I've spoken with individuals who moved here to Sheridan specifically for that trail system. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about those new pathways or those new extensions, has the committee sat down and really looked at a map and decided, you know what, let's go from here to there, from here to there, and vice versa?
I think our goal right now is let's get this portion done. I think we all dream of that, taking it further, possibly ACME. I know Bill told me not long ago, he said, I had a dream that we went it and took it all the way to Parkman. You know, I think once we get the phases built and people use them and more people see people using them, it's endless. Everywhere you go, we travel a lot this summer. There's pathways everywhere and they're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and always somebody on the pathway, like you said. There's always people walking, so or riding.
There's so many historic things out there that I don't think a lot of people can appreciate because it might be a little out of the way. Let's take like ACME, for instance. A lot of work going on out there right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to see it when it's done, and that would be fantastic. That's a historical marker, you know. People will walk out there and they'll see that stuff. Now, how did you decide which one to prioritize first? Was it because of the schools and the kids?
I think safety issues were a primary concern, at least from my point of view, yes. And enabling that movement to happen safely and, you know, not, we got to protect our kids and students and everybody else who wants to move on those routes. That's what first priority is, but I think you know, following up on that is, you know, recreation and all these other uses that come along. I think it's just, again, part of community.
Now, have you seen more people kind of getting out there? Maybe even, and I'm not going to call them naysayers, but maybe some of the people who didn't see the value.
I would say yes to that. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the way that they're constructing it, there's a lot of blank spots in between the concrete, the way the construction works. So it doesn't flow all the way to the end at this point. We're planning, I think November 22nd, we're going to do a walk. We assume that it'll be finished by then, and we're going to gather and walk the pathway. Yeah. We tried to think about doing a turkey trot, but we don't want to compete with everybody else.
So. Yeah, I can understand that. Now, Jared, this is what you do, is make pathways.
Yeah, well, at the Land Trust, we're mainly known for our natural surface trails, but it's that management of those trail systems that led us to help out and be partnership with the Pathway Board here so that we can, you know, bring our expertise that we've had. Mm. Just trying to help out and build community again, like Bill said.
Mm-hmm. And Jared, how did this partnership really develop?
Well, I wasn't part of the initial forming. I think that was Bill and Brad Bauer, our executive director at the Land Trust, and Carly Sannon from the Tongue River Valley Community Center. They got together and were going over this, you know, this community project that seemed to have stalled out for over 30 years, you know.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's that just like any other community project, it's a group of people that see a need or see something that's unsafe, and then they move to, you know, start talking about how can we bring this to the community. And that's what you know, the beginnings of it were in this latest phase. But you know, it, like Gina said, it has been, you know, something that people have been wanting, talking about for over 30 years now.
When you formed up, were there other committee members, maybe even yourself, who said, you know what, guys, let's not reinvent the wheel. SCLT's got this handled. Let's go ask them how they accomplished X, Y, and Z.
Well, I will credit the Land Trust with, they got a small grant from the National Park Service to facilitate public meetings that we had in Dayton and Ranchester. And I'm trying to remember the year, would have been 17. 2017, 2018.
Oh, a while ago. Oh.
And that's when, you know, people came in and said, what's going on here? And to inform them and just from right then and there. And that's kind of where I got involved. It's like, well, what's going on? And the energy and the interest in the trails right then just took off. So the land trust really helped reignite the hopes and desires for getting this trail on its way.
Gina, have you seen more support? I mean, 2017, 2018, that was quite a while ago.
Well, in 2019, we did a survey. There was a survey done, and it was overwhelming how many people were in favor. I think the support that we've seen now are the contributions. We have an endowment that we started with the Sheridan Community Land Trust, Sheridan Community Foundation. And our goal as a board, because our main objective is maintenance and repair, we need to have a fund to be able to take care of that, as well as informing the community and keeping people aware. So we started our endowment just this year. Our goal's $500,000, and we are over close to $260,000 now.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then we have another account for our incidentals and different things that we will add to that. But I think that alone, just because it's all public donations, we haven't really done a big fundraiser yet. I think that tells you right there how involved and how excited people are to see this happen.
I mean, it's really grown organically.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Nothing's really kind of been put together, like you said, fundraisers or big call for action as of yet. We
definitely have a plan for that, of course.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, we're excited and we would like to see the possibility of extending it further. But getting through this first section will give us the experience and knowledge and connections to extend further, I think.
So. Absolutely. You know, when people see something that has been done that's tangible, then they realize, oh, this is action. This is going to happen, and I want to be a part of it.
Well, and I think there's people that won't realize they'll use it and see it and see people on it and go, this is kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. You know, I got to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I'm going to ask you about how feedback kind of helps spur that mission in the direction of the pathways. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You know what makes a big difference in life?
I know, making smart money choices.
That's why First Federal Bank and Trust partners with local schools and organizations to teach financial basics.
They make it fun and interactive with free materials, bank tours, and real conversations.
And we tailor everything to fit your classroom or group.
I want to get started right now.
You can learn more at efirstfederal.bank. First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Have you started having those conversations with others or began thinking to yourself what a new home may look like to you? Hi, this is Colton Bates with the Bates Team at Best, and we want to help you bridge the real estate gap between where you are and where you want to be. Even speaking with an agent can oftentimes feel overwhelming because this is generally the number one financial decision in a person's life. We've helped our clients through a wide variety of situations, and you will always have a thoughtful plan that considers your needs and timeline. Choose a real estate team that will take action on your behalf and deliver. Choose the best. Give us a call at 675-BEST and visit bestwi.net today.
Help celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States by designing a flag for your Sheridan County community. Sage Community Arts invites designs from each of the 14 cities and towns in the county. One design will be chosen from each to begin flying the first week of January. To enter, scan the QR code in this week's Country Bounty for a link with format information and to submit your design. This contest sponsored in part by Sage Community Arts and Sheridan Media. Dress up your pet. Take a photo and enter it into the Pet Halloween Photo Contest at SheridanMedia.com. You'll have a chance to win $100 in Chamber Bucks from Mandy Koltiska with Century 21 BHJ Realty and a $100 gift card to Shipton's Big R. You can enter one time each day through Halloween night. Winners by most votes. Pet Halloween, presented by Shipton's Big R and Mandy Koltiska with Century 21 BHJ Realty. Enter now at SheridanMedia.com.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Hi, I'm Olivia Hardesty.
And I'm Nicholas Matheny.
We are student members of the Spanish Club at Sheridan High School, and we invite you to attend a community-wide Day of the Dead celebration on Friday, November 1st at the YO Theater.
There will be fun activities for everyone, including face painting, salsa lessons, music from DJ Mario Montaño, and a children's festival. Visit yotheater.com to learn more. Let's all celebrate together.
El Día de los Muertos.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with the Tongue River Pathways Committee. Bill Bensel, Jared Kionig, Will couldn't make it this morning, Gina Donner, and we've got Bruce Ciliano with us as well.
Good job.
Oh, I announced Jared. We're having a good time in here, folks. Let's talk about the surveys that were taken. This is something that you brought up, Gina, and when it comes to the directions of organizations, this is a very public-driven mission. How do those surveys really help guide what you guys feel is the best way forward?
I think it's important for the grants that we plan to apply for, any donations, the Town of Ranchester, the YDOT committees. I think it's important for them to see the public's opinion and how excited we are and those that are in favor. We've just started another round of surveys. It's pretty informal. So hopefully we can get more public entities on board for funding purposes.
And if you got public support, you just say, look, this is what everyone's kind of looking for. When you take those surveys, does the entire Tongue River Valley get a survey? Or do you specify it to the towns?
No, the valley, there's a question on the survey card itself. Where do you live? Ranchester, Dayton, or in the county? We hope to get more county support, and Dayton and Ranchester, you know, government entities change, and we want to make sure everybody is aware how excited we are and who is positive. And we don't mind hearing the negative so that we can answer those questions and go forward with full transparency, for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think it's important, maybe not criticisms, but questions. You know, curiosities that are written down. I think that's absolutely vital to the entire process. Now, let's talk about the health and wellness of this whole thing, something that a lot of people hit the path for. That's one reason why the wife drags me off the couch, try to get the belly down. How can these trails really improve health and wellness for a community?
Well, if I may first, Floyd, one early piece of input we got from the people in the area in the town of Ranchester was, this is 6 miles of trail. How are we going to maintain it? So as we were early on a committee, and now we've evolved into a board, it's like, okay, well, we have to help. The towns can't do it themselves. That's in the wintertime, as per YDOT recommendations or regulations, they got to clear that trail. It's ADA compliant. And so, to think on a heavy snow year, that's going to be quite a burden for them to take on. So that's where the Tongue River Valley Pathways Board came in, and we built this endowment for maintenance. So maintenance one of the things. It's like, how will they be able to maintain this? Folks said, you know, it's too much. Well, bingo, we've filled that void. So I just did want to mention that. That's a big part of what we're about.
That was one of the questions I was going to go, what happens when it snows deep? Because we've all been through a year like that around here recently in some cases. Right. But so now you actually have an endowment to ensure that this will be cleared off every morning. Is there like a company or a service that you use?
We haven't gotten that far along yet with this first section of trail that the town of Ranchester said, you know, Things are good right now. We can incorporate it into our regular snow removal program. But when we get out there, you know, 2 miles, 3 miles, 5 miles, 6 miles, it's going to be a different story. So we haven't really had to approach that yet and look at contracting or some kind of MOU between the towns. So that'll come in time, mm-hmm. most certainly.
I think I want to add to your question about the health and how it will benefit. Something that Jared's been working on is a map that actually, it not just the pathway, but it incorporates the sidewalks in Ranchester and Dayton, so you could make it as long or as short as you want it to be. The ultimate excitement is the fact that it will connect the Ranchester Community Center to the Dayton Community Center. And there's the mission that kind of ties it all together, I think.
I would agree with you completely. Mm-hmm. You know, those community centers are so vital out there. I mean, if you really want to know what's going on, that's where you go.
And they started with a big no. People didn't want to see it happen. They didn't think it could happen. And now we have one in each town. How exciting is that?
Oh, absolutely.
Aaron worked hard, and I was on that board for a while. And so it was very exciting to see the growth and excitement and still going by and seeing the parking lots full. And I think it just adds to it. And this pathway can be a real benefit to programming and events that can go on from one community center to another.
And Gina, where did they find you? Because holy cow, you know, you've seen this work.
Mm-hmm.
And having that voice on the committee is so important.
I'm super excited to be part of it. I was there when it was first talked about, and then life happens, things come up. And so to be back on board, I thought I was going to retire, but it turns out I'm not. But this is a great mission to be a part of.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Have you seen these community centers kind of wake the towns up a little bit?
Oh, most certainly. Again, I think it was, I won't say completely similar, but you know, these small ideas, they start small, they get talked about, and you know, people say, well, we haven't had one before, so
maybe we don't
need it.
Yeah.
And then it builds and builds and builds and goes in one community and two community. People are using the heck out of it.
Yeah.
And we love our community centers. Mm-hmm. And it pulls our communities together. It brings our community together, and it makes us healthy.
Yeah.
And gives us events and places to, you know, where folks eat lunches and have all kinds of events going on.
Like the rec center out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I had them in here. Fantastic crew of people. And I think, have they kind of been on the fringes of that, watching this kind of develop, and maybe even thought about, you know,
the pathway?
Yeah.
Well, Carly's on our board, so she's very excited to be able to incorporate programming to include the pathway. It is exciting. I was just listening to Bill, you know, and I think as the same thing's going to happen with the pathway. It'll start here, and the more people use it, the more excited they're going to get. And those that were naysayers are going to go, well, now what can we do?
Yeah.
So I think that's what's going to happen. And we're excited to see that.
I mean, having runs out there, you know, where everyone's off the road, mm-hmm. and safe, that's kind of the things that,
yes,
I'm seeing, because people love to run for some reason.
And I think that's why YDOT is so excited to be a part of it, is they want to see the safe travels. When I first moved here, people were walking and riding that back and forth all the time. But traffic has increased. You've got, mm-hmm. a lot of distracted drivers. So it's not safe to be able to utilize that area. And just like, you know, Bill was saying, Steve's number one, and we want to keep our kids healthy off the screens. And this gives them one more opportunity to be outside and enjoy the beauty of where we live. It's amazing.
And seniors within the community, you know, geez, if I had to utilize a walker or a cane, I'm not thinking about walking on the side of that highway. Mm-hmm. I'm staying home. But if I have a pathway, I'm going to go take a walk, mm-hmm. today. And you know, it's been proven, getting outside, looking up, seeing the sky, mm-hmm. it improves mental and physical health. Almost right away. And
for all ages.
For everybody. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
And again, you might end up seeing people out there on the pathway that you haven't seen in years because now they want to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. What does the future look like?
Oh, boy, the future looks like some pathways.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, I think Jared is a real vision guy. And he's, you know, he'll come into our meetings and draw us a map. And, you know, here we are going up Tongue River Canyon. We're heading up into Bighorns that's wonderful to look at from the pathway down below. And I guess the sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people want them for, I mean, we'll get into maybe more recreational mode someplace than a commute corridor. But, you know, both these uses are something that I think people want. I mean, heading towards Acme, towards the Montana border, towards Parkman, up to Tongue River Canyon, on the mountain. We've seen these happen in other places, and Buffalo, as you mentioned, is one. It just is part of the community that helps us as residents here and helps us enjoy it in so many ways and use it in so many ways. But it also brings in folks from elsewhere. Mm-hmm. When, I mean, the Bighorn Mountain Trail Run is, just as an example, people come here and they like to run that race. People are going to come and want to bike up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that happen. And it's the same situation. When people start biking up that narrow strip, it's a caution. But I think we'll see a lot more tourism draw from that, just like we have, you know, with our Black Mountain Nordic ski trails.
Yeah.
We're pulling more people from different parts. We're having ski races with the high school. And it's kind of all tied together. Trails, whether they're historic, recreational, commuter trails. I mean, they do so much for our community, that word over and over again. And the examples we've seen from sea to sea, you know, I think about my daughter in Boise. She can pedal to work on the trail. That whole community, that growing community, is tied together. Sheridan is tied together. And we'd like to see some of that happen in the northern part of the county as well for the needs that people have there. It's good stuff.
It right? Absolutely.
It's good stuff.
And you know, we live in a very unique place. The beauty of the Bighorns is unique in just about any kind of mountainscape. And I think having the ability to stand off and look at it is fantastic, but people want to get up there. People want to experience it. And a lot of times, I think there's this big movement, especially after COVID, you know, the outside recreation has really hit lately. And even people as young as my daughter, she's 21, and she's getting out more. And I think this is the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Extend the borders. Definitely.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. It was great.
Thank you for letting us share our exciting project.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to have you back. Maybe sometime next quarter. Come in. Tell me how everything went. And if we can walk from one place to another next time.
Maybe we can do it live on the pathway.
Never know what might happen.
Right. And Floyd, I will remind all your listeners and the greater Sheridan County area that on the 22nd of November, that afternoon, we will be having a kind of a come out and see the trail, enjoy the trail, the chunk of trail that is being built now, as well as a nice loop that goes around behind the middle and elementary school. There's some nice things to be seen, and so everybody's welcome to come out and see it and use it.
And this is not weather permitting. You can bundle up. We'll be doing it.
That's right. All right.
Even if it snows.
Even if it's snowing, there's still a trail under there somewhere, right?
Yes.
All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with Sheridan Community Land Trust. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Rapp Plumbing and Heating has been serving Sheridan since 2010. With all these years of experience, you can rely on them to handle all of your plumbing and heating needs. From new construction to remodels, repairs of existing systems to retrofitting, Rapp Plumbing and Heating can do it all. They are professional, clean, and courteous. Call 429-1196 for all your plumbing or heating needs. As we like to say, if you find a leak, let Dan take a peek.
It's time for the Caleb Shrine's Tunnel of Terror. Under the Big Top. Step into the Circus of Nightmares this weekend, Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 6 to 10 p.m. All ages are welcome for family-friendly thrills and chills. Only $5 per person or $20 for the whole family. You're sure to have a spooktacular time. The Caleb Shrine is partnering with Ace in the Hole Players this weekend, Thursday through Saturday at 145 West Laux for the Tunnel of Terror. Under the Big Top.
The Wyo Theater and Trident Theater team up for the fifth year in a row to present the cult classic, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Join us as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the release of the film, as we use a shadow cast of local actors to follow along with some of your favorite scenes. Callbacks, costumes, and props are encouraged during the performance. Join this sexy and spooky sci-fi party at 7 p.m. on October 30th at The Wyo. Check out wyotheater.com to get your tickets. The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's do the time warp again. Rated R.
If you're hunting in bear country this fall, some reminders. Keep attractants in camp inaccessible to bears. Bears who find food rewards often come back. Bears are packing on fat for hibernation, so keep a lookout for signs of bear, tracks, scat, digging. Think about hunting with a partner and pack out your harvest as soon as possible. If you have to leave it, try to hang it up or be able to see it from a distance. And remember bear spray. It's effective, so keep it handy and know how to use it. Sponsored by the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters and this station.
It's Thursday, and SheridanMedia.com's fall online marketplace hot buys are open today only. One day pop-up shop featuring local retailers, gifts, gear, goodies with starting bids at half price. Bidding closes at 8 p.m. tonight. Go to SheridanMedia.com. Click on that fall marketplace hot buys banner every Thursday. SheridanMedia.com's fall online marketplace. Shop smart, shop local, shop today till 8 p.m.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. We're going to continue talking about trails this morning as we are joined by Sheridan Community Land Trust Director of Recreation, Jared Koning, Education and Public Engagement Assistant, Bruce Sciliano, and by phone, Marketing and Development Contractor, Mr. Chris Verba. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Chris, can you hear us?
Popular morning, Floyd.
It is. How is it out there?
Rainy.
Oh, raining in Jersey.
Quite rainy.
Oh, there you go. You're already getting it. Well, let's start off, Jared, by getting an update on what's happening up at the Red Grade Trails. I know a lot of people love that area up there. What's going on?
All right. Well, right now we've got two machines up there on Red Grade, one contractor. It's Integrated Trail Lab out of Montana, and they are building on the downhill bike-only flow trail. A trail that's really exciting. People have been waiting for it for years. This helps connect part of the upper trails to the lower trail sections and keeps downhill bikers away from people that are trying to travel uphill and whatnot. And it just it's really cool experience. It's just a fun bike trail.
Jared, were you the one that went out there and kind of surveyed where you wanted that to go?
I did parts of it, but the story of Red Grade is a story of a lot of people. Just like the pathway, the Red Grade trails have been a community project. A lot of people worked on them over the years. A lot of passion, a lot of community passion went into it. So I did some of that out there, but there's some other folks out there that that definitely did a lot more than I have so far. So,
is this the Let 'Em Roll Trail?
Yes.
Okay. So it's officially called the Upper Let 'Em Roll Trail?
Correct.
All right. Now, how soon do you think the second half of the trail is going to be ready for the public?
Well, there are two machines working up there right now, and one machine is working on the upper section of Upper Let 'Em Roll, and one's working on the lower section of Upper Let 'Em Roll. And so they split off to make more ground while they could. And so the upper machine, it should be getting out of there, and some of that handwork being finished up, hopefully, fingers crossed, this week. And then we can start getting people out there on that very top section. The middle section, or the lower section of upper let and roll, that one is still going to take a little bit more time. There's some handwork that's going to be going on to finish that up so people can get out there. But the upper section will be connected all the way down to the fire up trail. So you will be able to ride all the way down that trail and hook up to another trail and ride back up and keep doing a loop if you'd like.
That's fantastic. We got a reporter here, Mr. Ron Richter. He is going to be jazzed, man. He gets out and he rides every single day. I'm not sure if there's a day Ron doesn't ride if he's in town. What challenges do you face when you're making a trail like this in this kind of guess weather? Could be wet today, could be dry, and it's getting a little chilly out there as well. I mean, you've made and maintained trails for quite some time now. I mean, what are the challenges that these guys could be facing?
Well, so we've got definitely some challenges, but also some benefits because of this weather. So it's up there where this trail's at, it's some very steep terrain. And, you know, that steep terrain is hard to build in. There's a lot of rock in the soil. But because we've got some moisture coming in right now, it helps, they can pack in the trail. You can't pack dry dirt. That's just a simple fact, right? So they need a little bit of moisture in the trail, and they can actually get their work done a lot quicker that way. Unfortunately, yeah, sometimes the snow does slow things down a little bit. If you've ever been up on the red grade trails, you know that sometimes it does get a little bit greasy and muddy in some spots. So, too much moisture is no good for us. But right now, this weather has been just amazing. We live in such a wonderful place, and this our one of the most best seasons out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Getting things done in the fall. You're not cooking while you're out there either.
Yeah, it gets hot up there on the face of Red Grade. It may be a little bit higher elevation, but boy, howdy. Some days that sun really gets you.
I think that's the thing. Not to go up too much of a tangent, but standing out there the other day, the wind was nice and chill, but the sun beating down was actually making my chest too warm. I had to go find some shade. I couldn't believe it. Now, who are some of the other partners helping these trails gain life in the Bighorns?
Well, so the Red Grade Trail System specifically, that is done with a partnership with Sheridan County. And so Sheridan County is one of our partners, and the Sheridan Community Land Trust, we manage that space in partnership with the county. And that's been a great partnership so far. The county has been great working with us. And so that the trail system goes across state land, BLM land, and Forest Service.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we do work with, a lot of different agencies, to see these things through up there. But then we also have, we've got other partners out there. So like Wyoming Pathways, great nonprofit organization. They helped us get some money for another trail that we got finished up there this season. The Highlander Trail, and we also work sometimes with Conservation Corps groups, Montana Conservation Corps, Wyoming Conservation Corps crew. So it's, it's been, as well as volunteers, it's been, a lot of hands in this project and a lot of partners. And, I think that's just speaks even more to the success of it, is that everybody worked together to get this done.
With so many individuals really taking it. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
We would be remiss if we did not mention that these trails, whether it's Red Grade Trails, the Soldier Ridge Trail System, the Green Room Trail, the trails we've built at the Big Goose Natural Area, and even the stops and access sites we've put in at the Tongue River Water Trail, all of that comes about thanks to community support. So that's people giving back through time as volunteers, and also by making donations to SCLT. We are a nonprofit organization, and we leverage those individual gifts from people in our community who love to connect with the outdoors in order to be able to create projects just like Red Grade Trails.
And Jared, this isn't, it's there's a lot that goes in to planning, building, and maintaining a trail. It's not just a dirt path. I mean, there's a lot to this, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it starts out as conversations, looking at maps, walking out there where there is no trail yet, you know, and having a vision. It takes years. It takes a long time and a lot of effort. And, you know, and then it's almost a science to build a trail, and building a trail for the type of use that you're expecting. And so the contractor that we brought in for this downhill flow trail, the bike trail, that's one of the things that they specifically do. They specifically build bike trails that are downhill flow trails.
Wow. And
so there are other contractors that we work with as well that their skill set is a little bit better tuned towards hiking trails, right? So, you know, we're always trying to look for the best, you know, the best partners we can to get the best trails that we can out there, because it is a science, and I can't do it. I can't sit up there on that machine and dig that well.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I wouldn't be able to. All right, Bruce, I'm going to shift gears a little bit, because one of the news releases that I put up from you guys last week had some fantastic news, something that my wife and I are always kind of looking for. And that is an off-leash dog area going on out at Big Goose. Can you tell us a little bit about this area?
Well, it's an experiment, Floyd. We took a goodly portion of the Big Goose natural area and made it an off-leash area for dogs. And it's not a dog park. It's a off-leash area. So folks can take their dogs out there. We ask them to follow some common sense rules, but they can walk nearly a mile of trail with their dogs off leash. So this is an opportunity to bring dogs out there and be off leash and get their tails wagging.
Now, you said some simple common sense rules. Could you tell me just a few of those?
Well, one of those is picking up after your pet. As Jared likes to say, when you gotta go, you gotta go. And that includes our dogs. So we provide dog poop bags and trash cans to help make that easier. And we ask the folks clean up after their dog. Another thing that we ask is that dogs remain on lead until they get to the off-leash area. So that's from the parking lot to the off-leash area. And that's because, you know, we've seen an increased use of the Big Goose Natural Area because of the off-leash experiment. And we've got dogs and cars and coming in and out, and it's for safety.
A lot of stimuli happening out there.
Sure. And we don't want anybody hurt, including their dogs. So we ask the folks keep the dogs on lead until they get to the off-lead area. And remembering that it isn't a dog park. We use that land for livestock grazing, wildlife habitat, research projects, and local history. So we ask folks to stick to the trails and only step off the trails to clean up after the dogs, and not to let the dogs wander around the hayfield.
Understandable.
And finally, need to be aware of our surroundings. This is a natural area. That's why it's called the Big Goose Natural Area. So there's natural hazards like steep hillsides and barbed wire, and perhaps some wildlife hazards also. So use that off-leash area, being aware of those hazards, and basically at your own risk.
All right. Chris, real quick, I got 2 minutes left, buddy. Before I wrap it up, go ahead and throw me your some of the upcoming SCLT events that are going to be happening that you'd like to highlight.
Hey, coming up this Monday, we have the Virtual Fencing Field Day. Now, that is going to be Monday, November 3rd from 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. It is a free workshop where you can learn all about virtual fencing, see how it's utilized, and get a little insight on how it can help you on your ranch. And that'll be held at the SCLT community room, so out at our office. Sign-ups are free. Then coming up on November 18th,
We have a partnership with Sheridan College for a special evening SCLT Explore History program. We are going to have a screening of the film Powwow Highway as part of American Indian Heritage Month, American Indian History Month. And so that's going to be held Tuesday, November 18th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Whitney Center for the Arts at Sheridan College. It's in Kennison Hall. And then 2 days later, on Thursday, November 20th from 6 to 8 p.m., we are hosting the SCLT Discovery Session, Land-Based Safety Awareness, where you will learn all about land-based safety with our great friends at Sheridan Area Search and Rescue. You can sign up for all of those events. They are all free to attend and open to all. Visit our website at SheridanCLT.org.
Fantastic, brother. I want to thank you guys so much for coming in this morning. It's always a pleasure. Bruce, it was a pleasure meeting you. I won't get that name wrong again, partner.
You bet. Watch us on YouTube, too. Sheridan Community Land Trust on YouTube.
All right. On that, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, we believe strong financial futures start with smart money decisions.
That's why First Federal partners with K-12 schools and local organizations to bring financial literacy to our community.
We tailor our free resources to fit your classroom or group, offering interactive bank tours, materials, and in-person education.
Want to help build a financial confidence?
Request a speaker or materials today at efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Investing in strong financial futures.
Do you find yourself bothered or losing sleep from a ringing, buzzing, or other sound in your ears? This is called tinnitus. Hi, I'm Dr. Addison Dempsey from EBA Hearing and Sound, and we can help. Lanier is the first medical device of its kind granted approval for the treatment of tinnitus by the FDA. It is a low-risk, non-invasive medical device that uses bimodal neuromodulation to soothe tinnitus. Lanier is clinically proven to relieve tinnitus, which can help you relax, promote better concentration, and help you stop overthinking and start socializing again. Lanier is not sold over the counter, it's prescribed. We are proud to be the only clinic in the state of Wyoming that can prescribe Lanier. Whether you need the latest hearing aid technology to hear even in the most difficult environments, or the only FDA-approved tinnitus treatment, let our team at EBA Hearing help you hear and live better. Call today to see how we can help. EBA Hearing and Sound, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Hi, it's Good Luck Chuck Bagheera here, VIP in the Carroll's Furniture First Northern Bank Pro Football Pick'em. Want to hear what happened this week on the Crow Morning Show? Have a listen.
New Orleans Saints, they're 1-7.
I'll just go through this one quickly.
I'll start out. I think I'm still going to pick the Saints.
Chair.
That might change.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
If you pick the Saints, we might give you an extra point.
I don't know about that.
You picked the Saints, you stick with the Saints.
The rest of the VIP said no extra point for you.
I picked the Broncos during the Russell Wilson years.
Who wouldn't want a $100 gift card to the Y Arno Bar and Grill? Andrew the Analyst from First Northern Bank here. You got to play if you want to win. Make your picks for your chance at the high score of the week. And tune in every Wednesday at 7:40 to see which VIP dominated.
I'm your digital pro, Kim Commando. You're listening to News Talk 930 KROE.